Yes, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for an all-time great night tonight, because you're the one that's going to be leading this fellowship. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that leads and guides us and shows us the things that you want us to have, Lord. Lord, you have taught us in your word to strive to be like your Son, Jesus. And your Son, Jesus, walked on this earth with power, humble power, but he had the power of God Almighty in him. And I praise you for it, Father. And he also had authority, all authority and dominion. And that's the way you want us to walk, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you that each and every one of us grabs this life of walking like Jesus and bearing the fruit of Jesus in our life. And I thank you, Lord, that everywhere we go and everything that we say is dedicated to you. And we speak as an oracle of you, and we show the signs and wonders of heaven above throughout this world. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our life and what's going to happen tonight, Lord. I feel a special anointing on everybody here. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this open heaven that we have, Lord, because we know when we pray, these prayers are answered. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, on Monday, I told my boss my vaccination status. And I told her who my vaccine was, that God was my vaccine. And I said to her, because I did discuss with her a couple of months back about retirement. And I just said to her that she has to look into this, whether I could still work here or not. And
you froze up there, Andrew. We command this communication demon out of here in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have an open communication with everybody and they're not going to have any more trouble. Devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Andrew? Cliffhanger. Yeah, I know it is. It is. I want to know, Andrew. Come back. Oh, my. Anyway, I guess he'll be back in a minute. Anybody else got one while he's making his way back? Oh, y'all like me, you want Andrew to come right on back and tell us the rest of the story. Amen. Hey, Rion. Good to see you, brother. Good South Africa, North Tasmania.
Oh, I don't know if I'm Tasmanian yet, but I'm in Tasmania.
In Tasmania.
I don't know how much of African I have either left in me.
You're getting Americanized.
Well, I guess I fell out there for a second.
Yeah, you left us right on the edge of a cliff, Andrew.
What
you
was
were
the
talking
cliff?
To the late, huh?
What was the cliff?
Well, the cliff was whether or not she accepted your God's vaccine or not.
Well, she was going to check. She has to get back to me. This is not just a boss. This is a director. I told her she can discuss it with the other director, too, if she wants to. Just so happens both directors' offices are in the same office area as our print shop. And, you know, he came in that day too. So she had the chance to discuss it with him. So I didn't hear anything back. So I told her the status. It seems like to me, she comforted me to say everything was going to be okay. But then again, you know, I have to let the Lord do what he wants. I've already asked the Lord if I should be retired. And I think he wants me to be a witness. And but I'm ready for whatever the Lord wants me to do. I'm not going to keep bothering him with the same question. But, you know, I was kind of hoping that it was going to be no so that I could retire. you know, I still have, if I still need to get some tongue lashing and some fixing up here, then I want to be with the Lord on this too. You know, if I still need to be going through some things, then by all means, the Lord's in charge and he knows what he's doing and everything he does is right. And, you know, I did ask him and he said no. And when this came up, like I asked him a couple of months ago if I should retire and he said no. Yeah, like I just went through the Bible and put my finger down and it was a no. So it was no. I can't remember where that is. I have it written on a sheet of paper here somewhere and dated. I don't feel like looking for the sheet of paper. But then I thought this was his answer, that this was going to be the answer for me, but I'm still waiting. And, you know, again, I asked for a word from the Word. And again, I think I mentioned it on the prayer meeting. And anyways, yeah, so I'm still waiting. And from what we're expecting to come from this new plague, you know, I'm just kind of wondering what the Lord has in store anyway. He knows what he's doing and everything's okay with me. So praise God. And praise God.
Amen. Sounds like you're in the rest, Andrew. That's where he wants you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for blessing Andrew with a good witness for these people at his work. Not only that they would admire him for that, because they're going to see Jesus shining all over him in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for that, for Andrew. Give him boldness to speak only the word, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, that reminds me, like, I used to be so bold when I didn't know anything. And you're sort of more selective now when you want to speak out too much, but you still have to be bold, but in a more to glorify God by the knowledge that he's already given you too, and how he increases you. So praise and glory to God. For everything.
Amen. Amen, brother. We're praying for you. All right, Ray or June. How y'all is? How y'all doing? Everything all right? Yes, yeah, so cool.
Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, whoever prayed for our son John, I want to say that all havoc has occurred since then, but it's a praise report because it's like there's a disconnect between my flesh and my spirit, and I have a peace, and it's as if I heard the words the Lord saying to me, not that I heard the words, but it's coming to a head, and the victory is for John. So thank you all. I'm just anticipating for it to happen in a short period of time, but only God knows exactly when it will happen.
Amen. Praise God forevermore. Bring him in, Lord. Bring him in. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's awesome. You're in the rest. That's what counts the most. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Look at Julie. Got a little doohickey up there. Throwing some confetti out. Amen. All right. Yes, Claire, go ahead.
I have a praise report. My dad was going to go into hospital yesterday. And I spoke with them on Monday. Obviously, I'm a day ahead, right? So I'm on Wednesday already. But I spoke with them on Monday and had a really long chat. And just, God was just with me. And I was able to be so kind and gentle. And I just kept on praying and speaking in faith, but in a really gentle way so I wouldn't make my dad stumble. And then they told me that he's not going to take anything with into the hospital, like no books and no cell phone, because apparently, and the South Africans will attest to this, like they just rob you blind in hospital. Like you can go in with a bag and come out with, you know, a few limbs missing. That's how bad the stealing is. So anyway, they said they weren't going to take anything. And I said to my mom, I'm sure you could perhaps just, you know, fit in a few things. Cause in my mind, I'm thinking like what needs to be packed in. And I just kept quiet and kept quiet and kept on praying and praying and praying. And yesterday, the whole time I had a free moment, I just prayed in the spirit and asked the Lord to help my parents, like just make good choices about what they're going to pack in for this hospital. And so eventually at about 5:30 yesterday afternoon, I couldn't anymore. I was like, oh no, honey. So I just texted my mom. I'm like, what's the status on taking a cell phone with, like a mobile phone? I said, because I think maybe you need to download the Bible app for dad. And so she said, she texted back immediately and she said, he is going to take a phone. It's not a smartphone. It's like my grand's phone from way back when. And she has downloaded the Bible for him. But she also had this feeling that he needed to take a physical Bible and they couldn't fit it in the bag, like the little overnight bag or whatever it is. So they found a bigger bag. And so they found a bigger bag for this big Bible that they have that he's going to take. And that's exactly what I prayed for, that God wouldn't let him go in there without the word of God. Because who knows how long, you know, the stay will be. And I'm just really grateful. I know it's a really small thing, but I mean, wow. Like just to know that God did that without me having to prompt it. Do you know what I mean? Like he just did it and my mom confessed it readily to me. I'm just so thrilled. And there's nothing much to do in hospital except read, you know? So I'm just so excited that when my dad gets that dream that Michael prayed for, he's going to be led by the Spirit to open the Bible and get the interpretation for it. And he's going to just come into the kingdom in such a mighty way. It's very exciting.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him in. Bring dad right on in, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe. That's a good one. All right, Geneva. You got it, girl.
All righty. Hey, everybody. So, hey, Caleb. It's good to see you. It's been a while. I just wanted to say that the Lord really blessed me on Saturday with two dreams I had. And I called Isaac and I told him about them immediately. But basically, they're quick. So the first one I had, and I feel like the Lord's been dealing with my heart a lot here lately, just kind of slowly like getting rid of stuff, just more and more and more, and just kind of bringing a lot of stuff to light that I didn't even know was there. He's been blessing me in the mornings to read my word. And I feel like, I really feel like he's been delivering me a lot of kind of, you know, just emotions and things that come with pregnancy and all that. So, I really feel stable and like, praise the Lord for that. But basically I had a dream that I was laying in a bed and I was asleep like Jesus was in the storm. And I don't know if that's because Brother Michael, you had mentioned that the last time we were on here about how Jesus slept through the storm. But I was sleeping and there was like 10 demons on my left and then 10 demons on my right, and they were like coming like all kinds of them just coming down. And I was asleep, and I had this big hammer thing, like Thor, kind of like a big sledgehammer. And I was knocking them down left and right, just going back and forth in a fluid motion, and just asleep the whole time. Like it was such like a flawless movement, like no effort at all. And they were all dying one by one. And I was making a V. And when I was writing it down in my journal, I was like, you know, what is this V for? As I was doing it. And I thought about it, I was like, victory, you know, like it came to me, victory. And I was like, well, maybe I kind of made that up. And I was like, no, I feel like that was good. And so when I told Isaac that, Isaac confirmed it, because I was telling him, he goes, V for victory. And I was like, yes. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So that was pretty awesome. And that dream really lifted me up. And then I had one too. After that, wait a minute.
I want to say something about that dream. You said there was a bunch of them on your right and a bunch of them on your left. Mm-hmm. I remember a general out of the First World War. He called into headquarters and he said, the enemy is in front of me, the enemy's behind me, the enemy's on my right, and they're on my left. They can't get away now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So
that's the way you were. They can't get away from me now. Bless God, I'm going to kill them all.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yeah. No, it gave me a lot of confidence. I felt good. Felt so good when I woke up. And then the next dream I had was that me and Morgan, we were fishing in this cave, and there was like the cave led out to this big open, like out into the ocean, and you could see the light, and we were fishing, and Isaac was in the dream. We were fishing for him. It was his fish. We were just like little pawns that he was using, telling us what to do, you know, and he was watching us, and all of a sudden he was like, come on. He's like, you're going to get it. The next thing I know, I pull out this giant koi fish. Like it was like 10 feet long. It was huge. And it was white and rainbow. And it was the most beautiful fish I had ever seen. And anyways, like I just thought that dream was so awesome. And I know it was something good. I know the Lord's really been blessing Isaac a lot too, and using him in a lot of ways. So anyways, I had both those dreams. And so I had to tell him right away, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of times I have warning dreams and like, get this out of your heart, take care of this, you know? And I'm like, all right. Thank you, Lord. Always thankful for correction. But it was so good to have a dream like that. I was like, yes. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Maximus. Where'd Theo go? Is that Theo or Maximus? That's Maximus, isn't it?
That's Maximus. Oh. I sent Theo over to turn off his car tracks.
Hey, Max. What do you say, bro? Oh, go ahead, Lana. That's a good dream, Geneva.
Yeah, I wanted to just share a quick testimony a couple of weeks ago. It's either car tracks or some hallelujah song they've come up with. So our dining room chairs, these guys that you see behind me, have been damaged by the kids pretty badly. And it's come to a point where I either buy brand new ones that I didn't want to because I felt like it was a waste, or reupholster them myself, which is just as costly, if not more. And so I think it's been actually a couple months, since I've asked the sisters to just agree with me that the Lord would take care of the issue, and he has come through. I came across very similar chairs, if not exact chairs, about a week ago, and they were not only at a price point we were willing to pay, but I discovered literally a week later that they were on clearance 50% off, and I couldn't buy them. So I asked the sisters to agree with me that I would be able to get my hands on a couple of chairs by the end of the week. And lo and behold, I went and picked them up yesterday, and we decided to go ahead and replace them all for a fraction of the price that these would have cost me. And the Lord just put it on my heart that he was okay with me buying brand new chairs, instead of me investing my efforts into being efficient and reupholstery and saving this or saving that. And he made it, he brought them to clearance in such a way that it just, that was the only thing that made sense. So I just want to ask that y'all agree with me that we'll get rid of these old ones. Somebody will want to reupholster them. Somebody will want to reupholster them and take care of them. And we'll get some money back to cover our most recent beautiful clearance purchase. So thank you, Father, for taking care of my needs, teaching me patience and showing me, Father God, that you do have a will, even in these smallest matters that sometimes irk me so much, being a mommy of children and taking care of a household. I am greatly, Father God, I am grateful that you came through on this and that you have shown me your grace and mercy, that these things matter and that you are able to do so much abundantly more than I even imagined. Father God, thank you so much for taking care of these, what are useless to us, but treasure junk to somebody else, Father God, here in the quick near future, so I don't have to watch them sit in my corner. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So how are you going to protect the new ones? You're going to put you about five layers of Visqueen over them to keep the boys from messing
up? No, damaged them is because we put children's booster seats on them and they busted through the fabric, and the kids decided to help the process along and take the fabric apart. So no more booster seats. I don't recommend them. Just get a high chair.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Michael, last couple of months, I'm feeling, I'm not sure what you call it, tingly, but I feel like my hands going dead sometimes. I'm not sure what you're calling it. Just please pray for me for that, please.
Okay.
Pray for numbness of the hands, circulation.
Numbness of the hands. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Angelica.
Thank you, Angelica. Thank you very much. She understands Afrikaan a lot better now.
Yeah, right? I can see that. Okay, yeah, man. Sorry.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over all. Not just some, but all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that numbness out of his hands to go in the name of Jesus. It says in the word in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed. That's past tense. Joe is healed of this infirmity in Jesus' name. Now, numbness of the hands, go from it and don't come back in the name of Jesus. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It is done, Joe, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. My, my, my. I feel the power of God in this room. There's some stuff going to happen tonight. If y'all are willing. Praise God forevermore. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Angelica.
I'd like to give a praise report that the people on the fellowship haven't heard. Here locally, people have heard. But probably like a month or so back, I hurt my back really bad. I have never felt such excruciating pain in all my life. And I have had a high tolerance for pain, generally, and I don't really confess that anymore because I just don't want to, but I wanted to just praise God because, it's been a trial of faith. It's not been automatic, but I have been confessing, just my healing from my back. I mean, I literally could not move my neck to the right or to the left or lift up my leg an inch without feeling shooting pain all up and down my back. So it was excruciating. And even just to sit in my chair, straight up, with pressure on your spine, it would just radiate pain everywhere. So anyway, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I just praise God for that because I know that Had it not been for the grace of Jesus, I'd be suffering like a lot of people who have to, you know, go do surgery and just kind of have this lifelong situation. And I just thank God that we don't have to live like that. And I just give him the glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. She got some good praise reports. Anybody else? Prayer requests. A song. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
No song yet. So I have a Andrew prayer request. This goes, I kind of think we're probably going to get a lot of these, but I just got an email a couple days ago. What's today? Today's Tuesday. Monday. Got it Monday. Our client will be requiring all personnel on their campus or in their buildings be vaccinated. Please send me a photo or PDF of your vaccination card. If you are not vaccinated, then you need to immediately get vaccinated. We need to fill out the attached form and send it in, yada, yada. So I got this, and send a text message over to my boss and asked him to, I needed to talk with him or whatever. I didn't want to send emails flying back and forth, etc. And so I scheduled a time for tonight at 3:30 to go in and talk to him. And I prayed about it just to find out what the Lord wants to do through the process, etc. And so when I went in and I talked to them, said, well, I have a little problem. The Lord has taught me over the past few years that I can trust him for my protection from these plagues that are coming upon us. And I said, I'm not able to violate that compromise, that conviction at this point. And so I'm going to, you know, therefore this, I'm not going to be able to comply to this, vaccine mandate. And then he said, well, I said, now I have my reasons for this if you would like to hear it. And he said, no, I don't want to hear them. I just we need to find out how we're going to resolve it or deal with it or whatever. So I basically let it go at that. And then tonight, on my way home, I texted him again and just said, you know, I'd like to, you know, just add something to my conversation that I missed. And when he called me right directly from that point. And I said, you know, God has kind of showed me that, you know, that Psalm 91, I can depend upon his protection from these plagues that are coming upon the earth. And I kind of elaborated on it. I don't know exactly, can't remember exactly what I said, but he was very short, you know, as a matter of fact, okay, good, right, you know, that type of thing. And then tonight, he said, I mean, when I was in the meeting, he said basically, well, we'll have to, you know, make arrangements to get you out of that particular place and maybe, you know, shift you around to some other place. But he said, you know, don't, you know, we've had other clients that are starting to be concerned or whatever. And it looks to me like they're starting to bring the mask mandate back. And it's just, you can just see people are, they're just moving off of the fear, you know. So, I mean, it's just, it's very obvious that logic has nothing to do with this whole thing. It's all fear. People just reacting to, you know, what some numb nut on the television tells them, whatever. But anyway, so I got to thinking about it tonight, and I don't really know how to pray about it. I just got another email tonight, you know, before I came on, basically saying that, you know, our clients have required that we get vaccinated. So you need to send us back copy of your vaccine report or whatever on Wednesday night, which is tomorrow night, for you people here in the United States. So I don't know how the Lord wants me to respond. Obviously, I've already responded the way I'm going to respond, but I feel that this is something that that there's something bigger here, and I don't know what it is, but it's just I got this thought. Psalm 23 hit me again. That it's just, if you think back, I mean, think in the scripture, how many times did God lead his children right down the path where the devil wanted them, right into the trap, you know, right into the place where the devil thought he had the best of them? And I mean, it's there's so many in the scripture. It's half of the Old Testament is examples of exactly that. But it's like I just get the feeling, you know, the Lord leads us down this dark path, apparently dark path, for a purpose. And so I just started thinking about all those times, you know, the children of Israel up against the Red Sea wall of water, and God opens up the Red Sea. Three Hebrew children, you know, casting off restraint, and they cast them into the to the burning fiery furnace, or maybe that's vice versa. They tossed him in, and then the restraints came off. But how many times, I mean, you could just go through the scriptures. It's constant. So I just want to praise the Lord tonight. And this is the kind of thing that hit me, is that I won't say this is the first time, but it just kind of hit me that, you know, many of my things that I have learned in opposition usually are because of good cause of the flesh getting in the way or pulling me, or me a wrong reaction or doing something wrong, and I'm suffering mainly for the consequences of my sin. And of course, through confession and faith, God brings us through these those things as easy as everything else. But I just realized, I guess today for the kind of the first time, is that I didn't cause this. This is something that society, the world, is putting on us, and it's worldwide, and it's all over the place. And so I'm just thankful that the Lord has given us a perspective that we can look at these trials through his eyes and realize that we have his supply to go through the process. And just how many people out there that don't have a confidence in his supply. It brings emotion to my heart just thinking about it. But anyway, I don't want to ramble on, but I would ask for wisdom, that the Lord would give me wisdom and faith to step in the right direction, to depend upon him for what I need to make it through this process. I feel I'm really close to exactly what Andrew's going through right now. And I'm probably the same thing. I'm probably ready to retire. But I think God wants to do something else through the process, if nothing more, simply for the people that are listening and all of us. This is hitting the world, and young people who have their whole life in front of them and their income and everything is tied up. It may be easier for me to say, well, hey, I'll just retire. Or Andrew, the same way. But my kids can't do that. You know, they're up against the wall. They have a real struggle there. And so, and younger people that are just raising a family coming, everybody here in this group, you know, is younger than me. And we have families to provide for. We have all of this. That it's maybe easier for me to say these things, but God is faithful to us all, and we can trust him through these times of darkness. And it just some, you know, he leads us into that valley of shadow of death for a good reason. So we won't depend upon the mountains on each side, but we'll trust him even going through the darkness, even when we don't see, but we know that he's there and he can bring us through with his spirit, with faith, with truth, confidence in his supply. And so I don't really know what I'm asking for prayer for this process, but if it hits anybody that they could see what I need, I'll sure take it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Father God, for Pat, Father God, and the many, many children, Father God, like him that are in this hour, Father God, in the same predicament, Father God. I thank you so much, Father God. That in their weakness, you're going to show yourself strong, Father God. That not only, Father God, are you going to fulfill the true plans and purposes for their life, Father God, when the time comes that they should put away their work for the world and for slaving for Egypt, Father God. But that you're going to anoint them, Father God, with the grace, Father God, with faith, Father God, with confidence in you, Father God, to know that you're going to provide for them, Father God, no matter what it looks like, Lord God. And I just thank you for that, Father God. And I just ask that you give Pat, Father God, just the peace that surpasses understanding, Father God, the boldness to speak what he believes, Father God, for the sake of the hearers, Father God, with grace and love, Lord God, that they would turn to you, Father God, in their hours of darkness, Father God, and that others would hear, Father God, of his response, Father God, and remember, Father God, that when they're in the midst of their tribulation, Lord God, they would remember his answer. And remember to call upon your name, Father God, that he would be a light, Father God. And Lord, you are sovereign over everything, every job, Father God. belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. So, Lord, we just thank you that they are not going anywhere, Father God, until you say they're going somewhere, Lord. So we just thank you, Father God, for as much time as they need, Father God, in order for you to prepare the way for them, Father God, for the coming days. And also for the young people, all the people that are yours, your elect everywhere, Lord God. We know that you're making a dividing line, Father God, to the unbelievers and the believers, those that will conform to the mind of the beast and those that will not. And those that will not are only are your people, Lord. And so we lift them up everywhere, Lord. And we ask that you give them grace and confidence to understand that you are the provider of all things. You bring water from the rock and you rain down the manna from heaven, Father God, and you created all things. And you will not leave them nor forsake them, Father God. And I just thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with angelic and Pat. Believe it's so, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That's a good prayer. Thank you, Father. Amen. One thing that that the Lord has told us, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that He's doing this, and the reason he's doing this is to clean out the church, the apostate church. And so that's why he has prepared our hearts for this time ahead. That's why it's going to happen. He wanted us to pray it, that it wouldn't be as horrendous as it could be. We're still going to see a lot of people die, millions, millions, and millions. But it's for a reason. So, yep, Lord, we thank you for boosting our faith up exponentially to believe. Yes, he is. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Don't take the jab. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Praise report, prayer, need prayer? Yeah, what's that bear's name? Hey, Missy. See you snuck in here, girl.
Yep, Blake came in briefly to say hi.
Where is she?
I said she was in briefly. You missed her.
Oh, man, okay.
Bless y'all.
Yeah, bless you.
She's close to walking. She'll get up and stand on her own without holding on to anything, and she'll take 2-3 steps and then plop she goes.
Okay.
She was so wound up tonight. Today's her actually first birthday. So she was playing with a balloon. She was so wound up. I've never seen her so wound up before.
Amen.
Bless y'all. Thank you, Lord. She's such a blessing. I just enjoy her thoroughly.
Yeah. Don't ask Missy to see any pictures. You'll be there for an hour and a half.
Yep, that's true.
She's a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. That Blake is a sweetheart. She looks just like her grandma.
Yeah, well, I don't think so, but anyway. She's a cutie, though. She has a good bit of her daddy and her mom, but she's a good mix.
All right. Slide night, yeah. That went out a long time ago, didn't it? That's on your, it's everything's on your telephone. Good gracious. Can't even have popcorn watching the family slide movies. All right. Is that it? what y'all want to talk about tonight? Yeah, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say my son might be over on Thursday, so he might pop in and watch with me here, and just telling everyone that he's new to the Lord. March is when he came to the Lord, so
awesome. His name is Ben?
Yeah, Benjamin. Benjamin Austin. Benjamin.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. And we're looking forward to meeting him. Now, how old is he?
Well, he's 25. It's his birthday today. He's coming over for his birthday present. So I told him it was here because I called him, and it's just an envelope, so he knows what that is all about.
Yeah.
Could be a good gas money anyway.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, we'll be happy to meet Ben. All right, Jenny or Sue, go ahead.
I just heard from Leon, and when we had the storm going through about an hour or so ago, we had that rainstorm going through. He heard this lightning, and no sooner did he hear did he see the lightning that he heard the boom, and it was very, very close, even to the point where he said he's not sure if some of his outlets in his apartment are out or not, because I don't know if his computer went out or what the deal was, but I'd like to pray about that. Lord, we just lift up Leon's computer. We pray that this storm did not harm it in any way. And if there has been any harm, that it's just in the plugs, the outlets, not in anything of his that was plugged in. We just thank you, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you're also getting rid of those critters in his house that they're completely dead.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was the Lord electrifying them. That's what that was. Cleanse that apartment in the name of Jesus. Yes,
amen.
Amen. And no, the outlets aren't out. Nothing's out. He didn't. Only thing is out is them bugs.
Amen.
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 Amen. I believe it. Yeah, he called and told me earlier. All right. Yeah, we did. We had a storm come through here. David said it was a lot of wind. I was listening to a teaching and just saw it raining outside. But anyway, didn't bother anything up here on Sunshine Mountain. All right, anyone else? Best Grammy ever. Blush. I ain't never seen you blush, girl. What are you talking about? All right. Just a little bit of a testimony about lightning. When David and I first moved in this house, we had lightning striking this mountain often, very often. Matter of fact, David and Greg were out on the back porch one day and lightning hit the mountain and fire flew out of the rocks around them. So that's how bad it was. So, and at times, I was an amateur radio operator, and I had a radio set up here. And we had that knocked out twice. Had two radios knocked out. We had a microwave and an oven knocked out by the lightning. And so we prayed. And not only that, I contacted a guy about it. And I told him what I had set up here. And he said, I'm going to tell you something that you're probably going to not believe. I said, well, tell me. He said, but I've been in business 40 years putting up towers, radio towers. And he said, the one thing that I don't do is hook up a ground to it. I said, well, that goes against everything that all the amateur radio books say you got to have. He said, I know it. I know it. He said, but I've been doing it 40 years and I hadn't lost anything since I started taking the ground slips. He said, what happens? The lightning goes through the ground, hits the ground, comes up through the house, through the ground, and knocks things out through the ground. I said, well, that makes sense. And so I took the ground loose from my radio outfit there after I got another radio and never had a problem with it since. But let me add something else to that. We prayed at that time because we had trees. You could see trees all over the top of this mountain had been hit by lightning. You know, they'll loot and then they'll split and what have you. Fire will go out of them and you'll go up there and they'll just be burnt, you know, die at times and fall over. And so we prayed that not one more lightning bolt would hit this mountain. And they actually, people here have told us that, yeah, that mountain's noted for lightning strikes all the time. So we prayed, and we hadn't had a lightning bolt hit this mountain since then. That's been about 8 years ago. Not anymore, no more. It's an iron, it's a mountain full of iron ore and gold. It's full of gold. I know it's full of gold. I just believe it. We're going to have a little bit of an earthquake here and gold bullion is just going to come busting out of this mountain, you know. That's what I'm believing. Anyway, but that's a good testimony. God honored our prayers and we don't have lightning problems anymore. Praise God. And y'all can come dig for gold if you like. All right. Yes, Ray or June.
I have a question regarding the parable of the 10 virgins. I expect that 5 are the elect. I want to know if I have this right. Now, the 5 who were short on the oil, is it likely that they'll be saved? I don't fully understand.
Okay, let's throw it out there. Let's throw it out there for everybody. That way we'll get a little more info on it. All right. Anybody want to tackle that one?
That's what they would.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
I would say it doesn't look good for them.
Oh, yeah. Cut out. Wow. Wow.
Come on, elaborate a little bit.
Well, I'm just going off my recollection of the scripture, but they kind of rolled up after the doors closed. Hoping for a bit of a bit of, you know, it was like they missed the cutoff, basically. They weren't What? They weren't ready. I don't know how much more to put it like that, but you know, it's a you know, an analogy, or they, you know, five, you know, met the bridegroom, and 5 didn't. Or met the bridegroom when he came, and 5 didn't. They weren't ready. So I think it's a sobering. It's a sobering message in there.
Yep. They didn't have enough fruit, did they? All right, anyone else? Pat, I see you pondering there a little bit.
Can I read it?
For sure.
I think they're in all three Gospels, aren't they? Or is it just in, I'm looking at Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That verse there, I remember, it reminds me of the tares. Do not pull up the tares at the time, until the time of the harvest, because you'll pull up the good stuff too. And that's what that reminds me of. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. If you were standing on the outside looking at the 10 virgins, you couldn't tell the difference between the foolish or the wise. They all kind of looked the same, and they were all slumbering and sleeping. In other words, they hadn't risen up. And well, I'll let that go. But at midnight, there is a cry. Behold the bridegroom. Come ye forth to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. And so there's a couple of things that I tracked down when I was, there's a couple of things that are common in a lot of other scriptures, a lot of other parables that Jesus said, and it's, watch ye therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour. Well, we're getting some thunder here too. And so I have to go back and kind of reread, I guess, the bride, the virgins, the bride, the man-child, and all in that book again, just to kind of go back and think about that process regarding the marriage feast, the bridegroom coming. And I think the setting for this is at the end of the age. And and the timing of that is at the end of the age. But the interesting thing that I found, there's two or three things in there, but he said the Lord, when he spoke to these, they said, behold, I know you not. And this oil that we're talking about, the oil of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, has to do with also with knowing God, like Moses, or when God, I think it's in one of the Psalms, when God is talking about the children of Israel, that Moses knew God's ways, but the children of Israel only knew his acts. And that they were aware, they stood afar off and watched his acts, but Moses knew him intimately, knew the Lord intimately, because he walked in his ways. And
and he knew him through walking in his ways. But anyway, that's just kind of some of the things I was thinking about it.
Amen. Yeah, Joe.
For me, the answer is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. The difference between the wise and the foolish. I make it quite clear if somebody want to read that.
Matthew 7, what?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. I can post it.
Yeah, I got it. Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. Then everyone that hears these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Okay. Yep. So when he said, I know you not, that was a big clue right there, what happens to him. Because when he knows you not, then you're headed in the wrong place.
Yeah, it says that also in the 23rd verse, of just the verse prior to the first one you read in Matthew 7, 23. I never knew you. That's what it says there.
Yeah, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that was people who were prophesying and all the good things and healing and all that stuff, but they didn't partake of the oil or trim their lamps. That's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Ray. June.
Is it set?
Oh. Yeah, well set.
Is it really?
You and me.
You're ready. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to bring something up that is kind of similar to what Pat was saying before as well. You know, there's so many Christians that are lukewarm. And they're mixed in with us, and it's sometimes on the surface it's hard to distinguish one from the other. Back to the tares, that really hit home with me when he made that comment, because we know what happens when you're lukewarm. We're spewed out of his mouth.
Amen.
Oh,
that's the ones that are going to be lining up to take the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Jean, I talked over you.
No, that's fine. I just want you to know that I get thrilled when I realize how I'm growing and understanding the Word of God, because the first time I remember reading that verse regarding the 10 virgins, I remember I was thinking to myself, gee, that really was very selfish. That was really mean of the 5 virgins who wouldn't share their oil. Now I know better.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's another topic in itself there that we could go over sometime. By all kingdom. Yes, Missy, go ahead.
Well, you know, when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, what that's saying to me is you don't look like me, and I only recognize and acknowledge me in you. And if you, that means you don't have the fruit of the Lord. You don't look like him. And that's just what that means to me as an explanation. Because the Father, the Father is after many sons, you know. And he's the firstborn of many brethren, and we're growing up to be just like him. And if he says, I never knew you, you don't look like him. Well, you don't speak like he does. You don't walk like he does. You don't do what he does. And, you know, you don't have his righteousness.
That's why we come into the kingdom, isn't it?
That's right.
We come into the kingdom to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to perform like Jesus, to be humble like Jesus, to love like Jesus. He wants all of that out of us. And when he sees that, he just smiles so big up there. Look at there. Look at my brother. Look at my sister down there. Glory to God. Look, Father, there they are. My goodness gracious. Go, Pat.
I was thinking of the verse that Andrew, let me get rid of this, doggone it, that Andrew brought up there, the verse right up above it. Verse 23, where it says, then will I profess to them that I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That word iniquity means lawlessness. And I remember thinking, it dawned on me one time when I heard, the Baptist church, maybe it was, I don't remember exactly, but they believe this way too. And it's kind of that, that the, you know, Jesus came to live this life and died for our sins on the cross so that we don't have to, you know, we don't have to die for our sins, basically. He lived the law so that we, because God knew that we couldn't live the law, so he lived it for us. So now we get the free pass type of, and that's the concept. And obviously that there is truth in that. That is true, but it's only part of the story. And the part that is usually left out is the obedience, the obedience, a portion of that, that truth that God, that Jesus lived a life in conformity to the law of God, so that because we could not do that. And having lived that life of righteousness before God and was then sacrificed and crucified, left that life of righteousness as a credit in heaven for all those who believe and receive that life for theirs, and exchange, and God gives us the grace and faith to walk with him and exchange this old dead life that has to be crucified, and exchange for that new life of Christ, the righteousness, our righteousness. And so therefore, we enter into a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the problem is when so if you only take part of that concept and say, thus I will, that Jesus said, I profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. That lawlessness has to do with those that believe that we don't have to live according to law. We've been redeemed from that law, and so we don't have to live according to that law. But yet, in order to walk in obedience and obtain that life of Christ, it is walking in obedience to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, well, I'm losing track with myself. Sorry, I'm just running my mouth now. But it has to, that lawlessness has to do with the view that modern day Christianity thinks that we do not have to live in according to the Word of God or the law, the Spirit of the law of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I'll just let it end it at that, right?
All right. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Judy. Or Sue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, what Pat was saying, I was thinking, and also what that scripture says about the virgins were telling the other ones to go and buy some oil for yourself. And I never considered that buying it was, you know, was literally the thing. I looked at it as you have to pay the price, and that price that we have to pay is denying the self, because we can't receive Christ without denying the self. And so that's the price that we need to pay, you know, to deny the self and follow Jesus, take up the cross and follow Jesus. And, you know, that's the only way that we're going to get any of that oil and those attributes of the Lord, is to follow him and pray this. You know, that goes along with what Pat was saying about, you know, an exchange. There is an exchange. You know, I believe there is an exchange. You know, we have to die to self so that we can gain him. So anyway, amen.
Amen. I believe it. All right, I want to read what, look in the chat over here, y'all. Joe's put this up and it's pretty good. He said, wise equals hearing these words of mine and doing them. Lamps equal with oil and vessel, Christian. With oil and a vessel. Christian. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Oil in lamp is the life of God or Holy Spirit in that lamp. Vessel with oil is the soul where your fruit is being born. Christian with a born-again spirit and more fruit in their soul is obedient. Foolish hears these words of mine and doeth them not. Lamps with oil is a Christian. Then he goes on, quotes Proverbs 20:27. Again, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Oil in lamp is the life of God or Holy Spirit in that lamp. You don't have a vessel, you don't have fruit. Christian with a born-again spirit and bore no fruit in soul is the disobedient Christian. Okay. All right, anybody got something they want to comment on about this? Good subject here. Just remember this. God put us, bringing us into the kingdom for one reason. And that's to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, and to perform like Jesus. He didn't put us on this earth without power. He didn't put us on this earth without a humbleness He wants us to look, act, and perform just like Jesus did. Was that Isaiah? Oh, okay. All right. All right, anybody else? Yes, Claire.
What was coming to me when Joe mentioned that we should look at Matthew 7, I did put it in the chat, is he says that the wise people build their house upon the rock, and the rock stood out to me. And I thought about Peter, where he says, you know, Jesus was a stone that the builders rejected, but the same was made the head of the corner and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He says, but you are now an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I just feel how these verses are being brought to all of us to really illuminate this question that June had. Because if you read all of those that we've mentioned in succession, then it does paint the picture of what the elect looks like and what obedience is. It's really quite beautiful.
Amen. It is. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Isaac.
I don't know how you knew that. I was just thinking to raise my hand. You're good. Anyways. I was just thinking about the 10 virgins and the lamps of oil. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I think it's pretty good, about Elisha and the woman with the pot of oil. And if you look at that, the word for the earthenware is kereseth, which means fortress of earthenware. And, I think that resembles us, you know, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, you look at here in, where is it? I think Second Corinthians 4:7, and talks about that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So I think there's a lot to it there. That's all I was going to say. I want to elaborate because I really need to make sure I got my ducks in a row on that one, but I do think there might be a parallel there.
Amen. Pursue it, brother. Let us know. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? It's a good subject, Jim. I'm glad I thought about it. No, that was yours. That was all yours. It's a good one now. Anybody got a? Yes, go ahead, Jude or Ray.
It keeps coming back to me that the five foolish never took oil at all. They took their lamps. So they appeared to be legitimate, but they never took oil from the onset, which really, to me, means they ran out. They never took the oil at all. So I'm thinking they were like a counterfeit.
They said our lamps are
gone. Yeah, let me see.
That's verse 8.
Oh, so they had a little bit, but they weren't prepared? All right. Anyway, keep coming back to the chairs, Pat. Thanks.
Well, it says in verse 3 and 25, for the foolish, when they took the lamps, took no oil with them. In verse 3. But the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there is a cry. Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Well, they couldn't have been going out. They were gone. And now none. So anyway, you're right, Ray. That's not to say that you're not right, Gene, but you're right too. I'm being very diplomatic here. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Help me, Julie, get me out of this.
I don't know if I can help you, Michael, but what was coming to me about the oil in their lamps is like we all have a lamp, and it's, you know, our spirit is the lamp of the Lord. That's what was coming to me. And it's like if they don't have oil in their lamp, and it says that they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. And I think everyone has been commenting how the oil can represent the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's the leading of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, etc. So the foolish, they took no oil with them. They had the lamps. I just think that there's a lot of people who profess to be Christians, but they don't really take that seriously. You know, so if you really are running after the Lord, you want everything he has, and you're reading his word, and you're spending time with him, and you're praying, and you're asking him for everything. And, you know, the Holy Spirit he's the one that is, you know, changes us, you know. So I just think it's kind of like maybe what Ray was saying there about the tares, because it's either you're with Christ or you're not. There's two people in the world. There's Christ and there's Antichrist, but we don't know who everyone is until we see fruit. And so I think that's kind of what it represents too. I tried to help you, Michael. I hope I helped a little bit.
Oh yeah, you did. You got me plumb out of that, girl. You did. Well, that's interesting. How many denominations out there reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Almost all of them. Almost all of them. And the power, which is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Angelica, go ahead.
That's funny that you just said that, because I was just going to mention that I recently listened to one of Derek Prince's teaching on how to be led of the Holy Spirit, and it was just an awesome teaching. And the one thing that he mentioned that really kind of just like, whoa, it was just like I knew it, but never just heard it in those words. He said the reason we have all these denominations is because they're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, wow, like that's just sums it up. You know what I mean? They're doing the works of the law. You know, they're under the law, whatever, legalism, all this stuff, because they're trying to do the works of the Holy Spirit. They reject the leadership of the, you know, the Spirit of grace in their life to do it God's way, you know? And that's our New Testament is to be, you know, is what Jesus Christ paid so that we all can have the comforter. And I don't know, I just thought that was like, wow, that was like that's just really eye-opening, you know, I think to us, especially, you know, I'm just learning about, you know, being, you know, led of the Holy Spirit, even the parable of you know, Esther, you know, and Mordecai, you know, how she pleased you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, and just only needed what he said she needed, you know what I mean? And so anyway, I just think those are really beautiful parables, and probably I think that the church needs more education on the Holy Spirit and its purpose.
Amen. That's the reason. Let me just read Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like like things ye do ye. That's the King James Version. It's the traditions of men that keep them from the power of God himself. They'd rather have their traditions than God. And that's what's happened to them. We've all been through that stuff, you know, and that's a, I think David calls it the playground. You start out in the playground, you go up into elementary school, and then you finally just jump out of the whole mess and go in after the Lord, you know. That's what happened to me. Now, I'm sure that's what happened to most of y'all, if not all of you. How many of you started out knowing everything there is to know about Jesus? Okay, Julie. Julie's going to have to start doing some teaching. But you know, there's something behind that you need to know about. Okay. All right. Do you have something else, Isaac? Or are you just hanging out?
Trying to figure that one out.
I can't keep up with all of that.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Can y'all hear me? My speaker just cut out again. Okay, cool. So, you know, he talks about if I don't go away, the comfort will not come. But, you know, listen to these words on John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. And he shall glorify of me, for he shall take of mine, and he shall declare unto you all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he taketh of mine and shall declare unto you. I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, but the five came with the light, and the other five just came unto themselves. And how many men come and speak of themselves, but not of the light of the Holy Spirit? You know, think about that. And like the point she is making, that's why there's so many denominations out there, because they come in themselves. Because, you know, Jesus said, he's, you know, if he came, how do you put it? Paraphrasing here, he said, if I came in my own name, or if a man comes in his own name, him you will receive, right? But you know, he came in he was a son of God, and him they did not receive him. So the point I'm making, I think, is five of them came bearing the light, right? They spoke because they didn't speak from themselves, but whatsoever things they heard from the Father, and they glorified Jesus. And the other five came not with the light, but came with only themselves, you know, in their own name. Just throwing that out there, something to think about.
Amen. That's good. That's another aspect of it. Yes, Pat. You got a minute and a half. I'm just kidding.
I can do it. I can do it.
I don't.
With the right amount of prayer, I can do this.
Well, we'll need to have a time for some fasting, won't we?
We will.
Go ahead, brother.
For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. Like you said, there was no oil in their lamps. So in verse 8, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil because our lamps are going out. So, and I threw it in the chat that word going out means quenched. And those virgins either were deceived in believing that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were liars. I choose to think that they were deceived into believing that they were filled with the lamp, because they came with the oil, because they said, our lamps are going out. When the scripture up above that says, well, they weren't going out. You didn't have any oil in the first place. So there's a connection there that they believe what everybody's bringing out, that they were of the non-spirit-filled Christians of our day, that they thought they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't. Anyway, did I make it under the minute and a half?
You did it, brother, and glory be to God. This is a night to remember. Praise the Lord forevermore. That's a good point there. And that's what I was thinking when I was doing that, is that these people think they're filled with the Holy Spirit upon salvation. And yet they don't have any oil in their lamps. You know? That's a good one. Thank you, Pat. Praise God. We're going to keep on praying for you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know I'm just messing with you, Pat. Okay. Anyone else? Clara asked about communion. You know, folks, I've been so busy. David and I both have been busy here, putting out fires and what have you. Y'all just pick a day. That's all I can tell you. Y'all pick a day when you want to do it. You want to do it Thursday night? Communion? We can do it Thursday night if y'all want to. way we do this for y'all who haven't been with us when we do communion is you bring your wine and your leavened bread with you, or whatever you use as a facsimile of it, and we will have communion. And I'll try to get David up here, as he generally does, to come on and do his teaching on it. If y'all like that, if I can, I'd have to put something in his food, but that's all right. I'll get him up here. No, he likes to do that. So I guess Thursday night will be it then. We'll just do that. Go ahead, Claire. Most people unmute before they start talking, but I don't know.
I'm a bit slow, bringing up the rear.
Okay.
I've only ever heard this teaching on the parable of the 10 virgins, but how, like, not that I just don't understand. If you read this parable, how can you not see it? Like, what, and I know it's only by grace, but what does the apostate church do with this? They just don't teach this one. They just skip over it, because, like, how can they not, what do they attribute this to? How would these poor people who are sitting in the pews each week going to, and wanting to be fed, like, how they could just go read this at home and they'd see it. But if somebody's, how do you butcher this? It's so clear.
Well, it is to people with eyes to see and ears to hear. It is. But to them that don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, they skip over it like they do most of the New Testament. They skip right over it. All they do is just get in that little old bitty mindset that they have. And that's all they do. They'll pick one verse, and then they'll talk for 2 hours or an hour on that one verse.
So, Michael, could I pray for God's elect that are still maybe stuck there?
Sure.
Lord, your word is so clear, and you do all things so well. And the knowledge that we get from you, Father, it's perfect, and you've made it perfect through your Son. And we thank you for every little bit that we get by sheer grace. Father, I pray that you would pour out your grace on those who are still caught up in this man-made religion, Lord. And that you would give special anointing on this passage to be revealed to those who are in your elect, Lord, that they would supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit, be read to read Matthew 7 and 25 and the other verses that we've discussed, Thessalonians, Lord, that you would give them an inkling, that you would put a distaste for anything untrue and leavened in their hearts and minds, so that when they come across this in their devotionals or their prayer meetings or their sermons, that there would just be something that pricks their hearts, and that they would know that the Holy Spirit, the oil that they are reading about, is real. And that would be enough, Lord, to bring them out. Father, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. It is by no means of our own that this has been revealed to us. And we are so grateful, Lord. And help us to speak in truth and gentleness and kindness when we do come across those who are still entrapped in this man-made religion. Thank you, Father. Your arm is not too short to save. You are not done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Lord. We hook our faith up, declare, and believe it is so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Can I tell you a little bit of something? They're getting the truth over in an unknown country that I can't divulge. And the people, this is a Christian country, remote as it is. They're getting the truth over there, and they're coming back, and they're saying, why haven't we gotten this before? Why haven't, most of them are prosperity preachers over there. This is these people are saying, why haven't we gotten this before? This is awesome. We didn't know this. Talking about the teachings from David. And it's opening their eyes up. And they're questioning the pastors. Evangelist revival is going on over there, spreading like wildfire because of the truth of the gospel. God is opening up their ears and their eyes to see spiritually. And it is amazing what he's doing. Go ahead, Benita. Praise God forevermore.
Amen. That's exciting, Michael.
It is.
I just wanted to mention what Claire mentioned about that just seems so straightforward and simple and easy to understand. And I don't know, Claire, just being in the Baptist church for 15 years, and now I look at, compare how I understood verses to how I understand them now. And I can't even imagine that I couldn't see it before. I mean, I read 1 Corinthians 13 and about the gifts and about tongues and about prophesying, but that was all not true. But it's just so clear and black and white there. And just about Israel and the Jews, and that we are the spiritual Jews. And it's so clear in Romans 2. It's just so clear, if you're circumcised of heart, you're a Jew. It's right there. But we're taught that that's for somebody else. It's not for us. And I mean, just on and on, so many things that just seem so clear now that it's just right there in black and white, and we couldn't see it. It's so frustrating that I didn't see it all those years. So that's just one of the little things, Claire, but there's many like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what God does. Look, even David, he reads the word of God incessantly. I just feel condemned all the time. But anyway, when he's read it for 50 years now, and he still comes across something. He says, oh my, I hadn't seen that before. God peels that onion back. The Bible is so deep. It's going to take an eternity for us to realize the depth of what he's written here. You understand that it's not all in English. It's not all in Hebrew. It's not all in Greek. It's also in Numbers. It's also in code. It's lots of things that the Word of God has that we don't We ain't even scratched the surface. You can be at this at 100 years reading it over and over and over again and still not scratch the surface. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, Samuel and Tiana had a question about what is fruit and what is bearing fruit.
Okay.
Not sure if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I think I did. What is fruit and bearing fruit? All right, who wants to tackle that? Okay, Isaac, go ahead. Yeah, you're it tonight, brother.
people. Well, I wish I had more Bible verses, but I know from what I've heard David say, I know if you read Matthew 13, it talks about, in fact, I have it right here. How about that? And, you know, he talks about, you know, some, and others fell upon thorns and thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell upon good ground, yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. So, you know, it's the fruit of Christ and in the image of Christ, you know, 30, 60 and 100-fold. And people could probably elaborate it better, but what the Lord showed me, as I was reading that, and I was reading it, I was like, you know, sometimes I can read and read and read and not understand. And then I'll have to stop and pray and say, Lord, just open my eyes and give me eyes to see and ears to hear. And it has just been like, boop, bells falls on me. And so the whole 30, 60, and 100-fold, I believe is 30, you know, spirit, 60 is soul, 100-fold is body. You know, you're saved, you know, you got your spirit, your soul, and your body. And that's the image of Christ, you know, spirit. You know, you get born again, you get saved, you're saved in spirit. And then your mind, your emotions, and your will, you know what I mean? We take upon the mind of Christ. And we start to put to death that flesh and those emotions, and we manifest Christ in our soul. And then even in Romans, I think it's chapter 9, he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, if the spirit of Christ be in you, you even have health in your mortal bodies. In your mortal bodies. Think about that. You know, the body. So it's the fruit of Christ. It's the image of him. You know, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ liveth in me. In this life, which I live in the flesh, I live by faith, Galatians 2:20. So I know Michael, and actually a lot of people can probably explain it better, but I just know that the fruit, you get the fruit of the Spirit, you know what I mean? You'll know them by their fruit. That's like patience and love and peace, and you know, you get it. But I know in Matthew chapter 13, he showed me that the fruit of Christ, some will have 60, some will have 30, some will have 60, and some will have 100-fold. And that's the image we're going to come into in Jesus. You know, it's like David said, and I remember when he said this, it was so powerful when I heard it, like it just blew my mind. I was like, wow, that's amazing. He said, no one has ascended into heaven, but he that has ascended out of heaven. Who came out? Who descended out of heaven? Jesus. Who ascended into heaven? Jesus. So it's Jesus in us. Jesus created in us that's going to heaven. So we're in the image of him. So it's Jesus, the fruit of Christ. That's the best way I could explain it. I butchered it. I apologize. Hang with me. I'm still learning. I'm learning a lot.
That was good. That was good. I knew you had a good explanation for it. Praise God. Oh, Judy, Sue, you got your hand up. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this, I don't know if this is, I was just thinking of praying after Claire prayed. I had a prayer that I wanted to pray.
Go ahead.
Okay. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for all our brothers and sisters, Father, even those that are in the denominational churches, those that are in the apostate churches, Lord, just work on each and every one of their hearts, Lord. Bring them to be burning in spirit. Bring them to have such a desire, such a burning, such a desire to want you to, just as your word says that they would hunger and thirst after your righteousness, that they would be filled, but wanting to be filled with you, wanting to to know you and wanting to know your word, being so hungry for you, Father, that they would have such a desire, Father, that you would be able to just fill them up with yourself, with your spirit, with your attributes, Lord, because that's what they need. Just bring them out of those places that they need to be delivered from, and just let them just keep wanting to go forth and wanting to find you, seeking after you and your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, just do that mighty work in them, and just work on their hearts to come into your kingdom and into the way that they need to go, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord. That 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit, what can we liken that to? There's another analogy similar to that. Go ahead, I just got the answer. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I don't know. Might have to let somebody else have that one. But no, I heard David said, and it just dawned on me, and I should probably mention it. I heard David put it in another good way, that, you know, when you have a plant, you have fruit on it, and in that fruit you have seeds. And when that seed gets planted in the ground, it comes in the image of itself, you know. You know what I mean? And so it just made me think, you know, the image of Christ, you know, a tomato, you take a seed out of it, and you take that seed and throw it in the ground, it's going to grow a tomato. It's not going to grow a cantaloupe, but that'd be impressive if it did, but it's not. It's a tomato. So that was really cool that way. I was like, oh, man. Oh, okay. I get that. So, yeah, I hope that helps.
Amen. Hey, George, are you around? Like to hear what you got to say about the 30, 60, and 100 folk. What about the star, moon, and sun glory? That's part of it too. Somebody want to talk about that? Yeah, Pat.
The thing that I was seeing in that, the 34, 30, by the way, do I only have a minute and a half on this one too?
No, you got 2 minutes on this one, brother.
The thing that I was, that I noticed on the 30, the 100, 60, and 30 is that at least there's one application, I think, that is how I'm taking it, is that what we're talking about in this particular parable is the seed. The sower went forth to seed, and he sowed the seed, and the seed fell on the good ground and yielded some 100, some 60, some 30, 130 or whatever. And so I think even though it applies to let's just say people that take the word and it becomes and that word matures in them and they become hundredfold Christians, shall we say. But it is also, it's applied that way as well, but it also has the meaning that the word that you take has the ability to become 30 or 60 or 100-fold as it matures in us, as it as we take it, and like there's going to be some word within us, even though we don't like to think about it, there's going to be some word that doesn't get as mature as it needs to be within us. And there's some word that is 100-fold because we got it. We hit it. I got that, Lord. I know what you're talking about. And that rings true. Some things we struggle over. And I think God purposely places that within us because, let's just put it this way, if we were all 100-fold Christians and we had no 30 and no 60, there wouldn't be any need for any of the other people there wouldn't be any need for the rest of the ministry, the rest of the body. I don't think any of us could. I mean, I go back to that Aesop's fable or what about the five or six blind men around the elephant and trying to describe what an elephant was. Yeah, I think it's the same concept here, that some of us only have 30-fold fruit in our lives, and we are in need of others who have the hundredfold that can teach us and that we can learn from, and it keeps us humble to know that we don't have all of it, but we need and desire it all. So I don't know, that was just kind of one of the aspects of that that I was thinking about.
Amen. You're exactly right. Everybody has something to contribute. Amen. What is the 30-fold? What is the 60-fold? And what is the 100-fold? Yes, Andrew.
Well, you mentioned the sun, moon, and star glory, which is in, I believe, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And the sun glory, of course, I always like to quote Psalm 19 there, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. So you got knowledge in there, and knowledge is one of the lights that you're supposed to receive from the Lord. The Father wants to share his glory with you. And the highest glory there would be the one in the daytime. It fills the whole sky, lights the whole room. You don't have to have the light on the inside. And the moon glory can, it reflects the sun. So there's quite a bit of that's the biggest light in the nighttime is the moon. The full moon can shed quite a bit of light, but each star differs in glory. These are like the people that are trying to shine like a sun, but they're just a little star, and sometimes they come against each other because they're trying to outshine someone else. So the star glory, you get the little stars starting out and they want to shine brighter and brighter. And they get near a bigger star because they got more glory. And it's a comparison to the 30-fold fruit anyway. Also, I'm just trying to remember was it Joseph and his father, and that may have been something else. Anyway, so that's the glory. He's trying to do a parable between the lights in the sky and us, and how the glory in each individual person should shine, and the glory is God the Father wants to share his glory with you, and it comes in the form of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and teaching. And the central light is it's like the menorah candle. It's inside your new spiritual temple, and that central light is the Holy Spirit, and it's the Spirit of Christ also in you. So Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So the knowledge that you attain, the glory of God's knowledge, is also spirit, because it just works out that way, because you attain more of God's spirit through his word. because it's his seed, which was in the 30-fold fruit from the seed, because it went into the good land, and you attain God's glory, and it's also God's spirit, because Jesus said so. My word, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So if they're speaking a contrary word, like sometimes you may hear David Eales talk about 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, where he says, the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. So these people who bring a contrary word, they start talking about a temple maybe that's not the spiritual temple, but a physical temple. The temple that they mocked Jesus about while he was dying on the cross. And is kind of the temple the church is teaching. The letter of the word temple. So but Jesus, of course, spoke of the spiritual temple. Like I was going through YouTube the other day, and they were talking about the third temple being built. And I'm going, well, it's a temple made without man's hands. So how are they going to build a temple without using their hands over there in Israel? So it's a spiritual temple, and it's the spirit of the word you need. And if it's not there, then what kind of oil is this in their land? Anyway, that's what we were previously discussing. So, they like to quote that verse, and all Israel shall be saved, out of the book of Romans. And they think it's all those people over there in a country somewhere. And it's the ones grafted in, the olive tree. And he said he could graft some of them in too, some of the old branches that cut off. So it's up to the Lord to do this. So if all Israel that is going to be saved, they have to become part of our covenant to be saved. Come on now, he's not making another covenant in the future. So, praise God.
Amen. Hey, while you're unmuted there, Andrew, why don't you pray us out of here?
Father God, we thank you for this meeting. We thank you for all the people that are here, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, and that they would go on with their day or have a good night's sleep. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to converse with people from all over the world, and we can come together and all speak the same thing. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you would share your glory with us, and that you would bless us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, blessed is the man. Just like it says on the Sermon on the Mount, you could be blessed. Those are your blessings there. All the first 12 verses are blessings. And we will be blessed with those blessings. Many more blessings you have for us, Lord. You're going to counsel us, fill us. And Lord, keep us. Keep us tonight. Keep us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, let me get this off here in just a minute.